I'll try again. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. I don't see Alex Rizlov, so Kathy has offered to. What, sorry? Alex just woke up? Then I guess he's not here. So does that mean he's coming up? Okay. So am I supposed to ad lib? I learned a polka this weekend. I could do that. You don't want to see that, believe me. Why don't we start with announcements? We'll do some of those. So are there any announcements from the congregation? Okay. If you look at your, looks like a kind of beige sheet, Fall Feast again is coming. We have talked about that, seems like a lot, but we are hosting, and so we want to talk it up. We have until the 31st for registration, which is 2 weeks from this past Friday. So please make sure you get your registration in. We would love to see a large contingent from our host church. There are still plenty of volunteer opportunities if you want to do some cleaning. I don't know, do we still need to adopt bathrooms? They're done. Every bathroom has been adopted?
They're all
done. Wow. Are we going to have a contest to see which one looks best? That wasn't your plan, though. So she's like, shut up, Charles.
I don't want to be the judge.
Well, no, that's fine. You don't have to, but, you know, I just thought maybe it'd give some people incentive to, you know, do more than just spritz it. So.
I did walk in to say that the Molly lady has not showed up.
Okay.
So I just wanted to let
them know. Okay, so we may or may not have tamales. If you ordered, check downstairs after the service. Nominating committee is asking you to pray for individuals to be asked to serve next year. They are meeting, when? Coming up?
They met this morning.
They met this morning, okay. So we will have a list of names and ask you to prayerfully consider those people as they decide to take on roles. Next Sunday, we will have a healing service during our 10-10 service. Following communion, the congregation will have a special time to ask God's prayer for healing. And anointing will be available. All right, since I see the Rizlovs have arrived, Alex, are you ready? All right, come on up, sir. So as Alex is walking up, please turn off your any electronic devices, and we will listen to his prelude. Alex, later today we'll have Colin play, and it's nice that we're going to start having some new musicians. So when Amber asks for, you know, accompany us when she's 106, we'll have some. All right. Please take a moment to fill out the friendship sheet on the pew next to you. Pass it to the outside aisle and then back in. If you're visiting with us today, we are especially pleased to have you, and we ask that you fill in some information so that we can get back in touch with you. If you have done that, please prepare to sing our opening hymn, number 42. We are 442. We are walking, or Siyahamba is the other name for it, as we stand and greet one another.
We are walking. Singing. We are living. Thank you.
Please join me in the call to worship. Give thanks to God. Give thanks to God at all times and for everything. Give thanks to God at all times in the name of Jesus Christ. Please join me in prayer. Eternal God, we are living, singing, walking in your light, and we are so thankful for it. Even on our worst day, you are with us, and at times even carrying us, so that we can have a lessening of our burdens. And for that, we are eternally grateful. We know we don't deserve it, and yet you believe that we do. And so it is our job to live each day, sharing your word, sharing your love, and sharing your light. We ask all of this in the name of your Son who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Be seated. We were anticipating that Arlen would be here this morning to play the organ. He is filling in for another organist at another church, and I think he overestimated how quickly that service would be done. I'm so thankful that Kathy agreed to play our first hymn, and I'm hoping that she's willing to sight read our next song. It was supposed to be Arlen's turn, but he's not here yet. So while Kathy's looking for the music, would you turn to page 101, Jesus, Thou Joy of Loving Hearts? We will sing the first and last verses as our prayer song. And though we often sing quietly on a prayer song to be more reflective, this morning I invite you to sing loudly because Kathy's sight reading, so you all get to sing louder than she's going to play, and that'll make her feel really good today. So 101, Jesus, Thou Joy of Loving Hearts, first and last verses. got applause just like Alex this morning. I'd like to invite the children to come forward for a time of sharing. Good morning, Colin. I'm looking forward to hearing you play today, too. Hi, Max. Here comes Mackenzie, Alex, and Asher. I have some show and tell today. Charles and I went up to Cody in northern Wyoming. You've been to Cody, haven't you? Do you remember? I bet you've driven through there. Have you guys been to Cody, Wyoming? You're not sure. Mom and Dad can tell you later if you have, if you don't remember. Well, we were in Cody visiting some friends who have a cabin, and then we drove from there all the way to where your great-grandpa Bob Cook has a place in Cook City, Montana. We drove on the Chief Joseph Highway, which is in northern Wyoming, and it goes over the mountains high and curvy, and it has some wonderful creeks that you pass over. You get to see the water. We saw a lot of smoke from the forest fires, and we saw these really interesting rocks. I brought a rock back for show and tell. Do you see it kind of sparkles? I was really impressed. As we drove the Chief Joseph Highway, there are all these granite cliffs, and the rocks are all different colors. Some are pink, and some are green, and some are black. And a lot of the rocks have quartz in them, so they're shiny. Mackenzie, you want to see? The rock is kind of shiny. Do you see that? It sparkles. And it was amazing when we were outside in the sunlight how much the rocks would sparkle. Those little quartz crystals just reflected the sunlight all over. And it got me to thinking about our scripture this morning. We're going to talk about God's light in our lives. And we are called to be children of light. We are called to reflect God's light. That's kind of a big concept. Does anybody have any idea how you could reflect God's light? How you can show someone else maybe something good that comes from God? You know, I think when Mackenzie smiles at her grandpa and her grandma, when she draws a picture for them, I think she's reflecting God's light because she gives them joy. And I think that when Alex and Colin play the piano, you all are reflecting God's light because you're sharing music and it makes people happy. When we do things that are helpful to others, we reflect God's light. It was just kind of amazing to me that this little rock sparkled so much. Have you all ever seen a rock that has that much light on it? You've seen rocks like that before? Wyoming is a great place to collect rocks, and it's kind of cool to see all the different crystals and the different rocks that God has made. Thank you all for coming up to be with me this morning. Let's have a prayer. Oh God, we thank you for the wonderful beauty of Wyoming. We thank you for rocks with crystals that come in all different colors and sizes and shapes. And Lord, we thank you for your children of all ages and colors and sizes and shapes and all different abilities to reflect your light through music and kindness, through life and learning. Lord, continue to bless your children. In God's name, all God's children said, amen. Thank you all for coming up this morning. Bye-bye, Mackenzie. As our children find their way to Children's Church today, I invite you to look on the back of your bulletin. There's a list of prayer concerns of the congregation. And while we share these, you may choose to reach into the pew rack in front of you, take out a prayer card. It's a postcard with a picture of the church on one side. The other side is blank for you to write a message to someone who needs to know we're praying for them today in worship, and then place that card in the offering later in the service. Several joys and concerns to share this morning. Our card shower today is for Lois Purvis. She fell last Sunday and broke her femur. She had surgery on Monday at Wyoming Medical Center. She is now at Elkhorn doing therapy. We're glad to see Ted here this morning because that means that she is doing well. So he knows that she is in a good place doing therapy and recovery. We continue to pray for Lois and for her husband, Ted, during this time of healing. We had several members of our congregation who were in the hospital this week. We continue to pray for Paul Smith and his wife, Melanie. We pray for Wanda Leeling. She was hospitalized earlier. She's here now this morning with her daughter, and we're very thankful to have her in worship today. Wanda still has some tests ahead of her, some things going on medically. We want to pray for strength and for peace for her. Please pray for Tricia Nichols as she continues to wait for knee surgery. And for Amber French, as she is continuing to struggle with depression and with anxiety. This morning, we have a prayer blanket to bless for Amber. It was made by the Blanket Ministry yesterday. They met and made 19 blankets. The blankets are shared as a sign of comfort and care for people in need, and they're also given to the homeless and those who are physically cold. If you don't know this about Amber, you're about to learn that this is a very appropriate blanket for her to receive. It has Batman on it. And Batman has been one of Amber's heroes since she was a little girl. So we are praying that his strength will come upon her. After the service today, this blanket will be up front. If any of you want to come and simply lay your hands on this blanket and offer a personal deep prayer for Amber's healing, please feel free to do that, and then we will deliver this to her. Some additions to the prayer list today. Kathy Malloy's sister, Caroline, is headed to Fort Collins. On Thursday, she will have mitral valve replacement. Please pray for Caroline as she has heart surgery. We continue to pray for Rita Peterson and her daughter Frankie, who is living with liver failure. Frankie was hospitalized briefly this week. She's now back home, and Rita is caring for her. Pam Rouse is under the weather, and Keith asked us to pray for her today. Pray for our congregation, for the nominating committee as they begin the process of seeking leadership for next year, and for our team that is gathering information about the possibility of considering to call an associate minister. They will be meeting again on Wednesday evening. Dennis Baker is chairing that group. There are several members of the congregation who are serving on this information gathering team as we pray for God's wisdom and discernment. If you have feedback on this process, on what you think a job description would look like if we call an associate minister, concerns about the process, interest in it, please talk with Dennis or any of the members of the committee. You're also welcome to write down feedback and give it to him. Our congregation is an active, busy place. Yesterday, 19 blankets were made. The sandwich ministry met and delivered sandwiches. The fall feast banners were started, and this past Thursday, the church sure smelled good because CWF was fixing the mission meal, and all day long, you could smell them cooking. A prayer request from Rick Black for his wife, Terry, and Terry's mother, Cleo Glasspool, has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Prayers for all of them. Cleo had some serious heart issues last year, and at that point, all signs were clear. Now she has had a scan, and it is clear that she does have cancer. She is currently at hospice working on pain management, and once that is under control, she'll be going back home, and Terry will help to take care of her. So please pray for Cleo. We also want to hold in prayer those affected by floods in the east and southeastern United States, families of 300 victims of flooding in India, those in Italy who were killed when a bridge collapsed, and those who are affected by wildfires across the West. Our regional prayer partners this week are the members of First Christian Church in Loveland, Colorado. I believe that Ted Purvis's brother Bill goes there. We have lots of disciple connections across the state. Their pastor is Michael Stein. There's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary you're encouraged to sign and send greetings. Are there others today that we need to add to our prayer list, concerns or joys we want to share this morning? Arlen, welcome. We're glad you made it in. Hallelujah. Prayers of joy for Arlen getting a teaching position at Casper Classical Academy. We are so excited that you'll be in our community for a long time now. Let us bring all of these prayers, these joys and concerns, and other prayers of our hearts to the Lord in a time of shared silence. Oh God, we come before you. We are called as your children to be bearers of light in a world, Lord, that knows spiritual darkness. You call us to carry forth the good news of your love, oh God, revealed in Jesus Christ. We pray this day, Holy One, for your healing hand to be upon all those that we have named. Lord, we ask you to watch over Lois while she's at Elkhorn. Be with Wanda as she continues to visit with doctors and adjust to a new normal. Lord, bless Tricia as her body continues to fight infection and she prepares for knee surgery. We pray for Frankie, for Caroline, for our friend Amber, as she struggles in internal darkness. Oh God, we ask that your light will break through and bring hope to her spirit and clarity to her mind. God, we lift up to you Terry and Rick and Terry's mom, Cleo. Lord, as she goes through treatment for cancer, as her pain is managed with medication, oh God, we ask for your spirit to give her strength. Lord, you alone can see the future, and you know what lies ahead in Cleo's path. We pray that on each step of this journey, oh God, your spirit will be with her. Lord, for all for whom it is possible in accordance with your will, we pray for a generous measure of healing. We rejoice with Elaine Gross at the birth of a great-grandchild and a great-great-grandchild this week. We pray for Arlen as he begins teaching this fall. Oh God, our prayers stretch beyond our own community around the world. We pray for those affected by flooding and disasters. We pray for those for whom this very day is filled with fear and uncertainty. We ask, O God, for your hope and strength to be given where it is needed most. Bless our prayer partners, Pastor Michael Stein and the members of First Christian Church in Loveland, Colorado. Bless the ministries that they share. And be with Scott Nicholson, who serves as a missionary in Mexico. Oh Lord, there are many prayers that we would bring to you. Prayers that we do not yet know how to even put into words. And so we ask, oh God, that your light will shine in our hearts. Look into the depth of our souls. find those places where we have sin which needs to be forgiven and washed away. Find those places where we walk through valleys of death, facing grief or despair, and bring hope. Find those places, O God, in your world where there is brokenness, and bring wholeness. O God of life and light, we pray for your love to be with all your children. In Jesus' name, amen.
This past week, Cindy and I were blessed to have a picnic dinner up at Rotary Park with Amber French. And it was a simple meal. We had fried chicken, mashed potatoes, coleslaw. I think we had cold water and iced tea. But that setting made that simple dinner a banquet. And for those who have been up there, you know what I'm talking about, especially at sunset. It was absolutely beautiful. Sadly, the sunset was beautiful, I think, because of the fires, but that aside, it's just a gorgeous view. We are blessed every week to be able to share this banquet. It's very simple. A little bit of bread, a little bit of juice. But this setting makes it a feast. And it's a feast that we are all invited to. We don't have to pay anything. Jesus already paid the price for us to be able to feast each week. All that God asks us to is to remember him and to live our lives like him. And so today, as you come forward for intinction, you have an option of either dipping the bread in the cup or taking a piece of wafer and a cup and using that here. Do so with the feeling of being blessed that God has given us so much. You may also bring up your tithes and offerings and prayer cards and put them in the trays here in front. Let us prepare for communion by singing number 357, verses 1, 2, and 4.
As we come to this table, we are mindful of those for whom a cup of water and a slice of bread means life itself. And we reflect on our own spiritual journeys, knowing that this cup and this bread is for us indeed life itself. We remember the night when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. And while they were at table, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you, to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
Loving God, through your goodness, we have this bread and juice to offer, which has come from the earth and human hands have made. May we know your presence in the sharing, so that we may know your touch and presence in all things. We celebrate the life that Jesus has shared through the centuries and shares with us now, made one in Christ and one with each other. We offer these gifts and with them ourselves a single living act of praise. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
Please pray with me. Lord, from your generous and gracious bounty, we have feasted. We have dined, and now we are asked to go and serve. To serve you with open hands and open hearts. We ask that that you use these tithes and offerings to further your kingdom, and through us, explain and address all of your love and kindness and goodness to those that we meet. We ask this in your holy name. Amen. Selection was named At the Skating Rink.
Our first reading today is taken from the book of Proverbs. Should you like to follow us, follow me as I read, you could turn to page 591 in your pew Bible. So our first reading is from Wisdom's Feast. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her animals. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servant girls, and she calls from the highest places in the town. You that are simple, turn in here. To those without sense, she says, come, eat of my bread. And drink of the wine that I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight. So thus reads Proverbs.
Our New Testament reading today comes from Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 8 through 20. In your Pew Bible and New Testament, it's on page 194 and 195. Ephesians 5. For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, "Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We are so blessed today to have music from multiple musicians of all different ages and skills. What a gift it is for them to share their music with our congregation. So thank you, Kathy and Arlen, and Alex and Colin, for that music today. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, we study your word to be enlightened. We open our hearts to you that we might truly live as children of light. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. This summer, the lectionary has been following through the book of Ephesians, and this will be the last sermon we'll have from Ephesians. I struggled with using today's reading or next Sunday's reading. The lectionary includes Ephesians 6 next week, which is "Put on the armor of the Lord." I know that that is Colin Wood's favorite passage in the Bible, so I was tempted to jump ahead and share that today. If you've never read Ephesians 6, you may choose to do so this week. Ephesians 5, once you were darkness, now in the Lord, you are light. There are numerous images that show up in Scripture repeatedly. The idea of water in the desert ties in with our baptism and living waters in the kingdom of heaven. The idea of a garden shows up at the very beginning of Scripture in Genesis and is mentioned numerous times. Light and darkness we encounter throughout the entire canon of Scripture. In the beginning, John tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And what did that word speak at the very beginning? Genesis says, in the beginning, God spoke, "Let there be light." And there was light. The image of light and darkness permeates through our society in many different ways. For those who struggle with mental illness, specifically if we're struggling with depression, like our friend Amber is really wrestling with, Sometimes the image of darkness almost explains what that experience is like. It's as if your light has gone out and you have no hope and you have no energy and you have no focus. Scripturally speaking, darkness often refers to evil, and light is used to speak of God's goodness. And yet, there are also passages of Scripture that speak of God being present in the dark. In Ephesians, there are specific attributes given to that darkness, that sin. There are lists of things that people do that are clearly contrary to the will of God. I would much rather talk about God's light than the darkness of sin. But numerous times this week, just watching the news of the world in which we live, I was struck again by how the context of the church in Ephesus is not that different from the context we live in today. I could not escape the connection between this week's lectionary reading that we are called to be children of light and the news that in Pennsylvania, it's been revealed that Catholic priests committed pedophilia for numerous years and was covered up and hidden by the church. I ache for those children who were abused and for those priests who were so misguided that they abused the power and privilege of their priestly role. Surely, there is still sin in our world. Darkness tries to permeate society, and yet God calls us to live in the light. Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. This traditional response was at one time included in a baptismal litany. Those who are newly baptized would hear the words of the Easter hymn, "Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Christ will shine in you. Surely the world now, as much as it did in the time of the church at Ephesus, needs Christians to live in the light and speak the truth. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Be careful how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise. This morning, Peg read for us a selection from the wisdom literature of the Hebrew scriptures of the Old Testament. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon are referred to collectively as wisdom literature. Those verses, those passages speak to us of how God calls humanity to discern what is wise and what is foolish. Do not get drunk with wine. The author of Ephesians isn't saying don't drink wine. Jesus did, in fact. His first miracle was to turn water to wine. But the caution is do not get drunk. Do not get so overwhelmed with the debauchery of living that your life is torn apart. Our congregation is blessed to be a site for an AA group that meets every Tuesday night. If you know someone who struggles with alcoholism or addiction, they are welcome to that program, to come to a safe place to stand with others and to humbly repeat a litany of sorts. Hi, my name is Cynthia. My grandmother was an alcoholic. At an AA meeting, a person stands and says their name and owns that burden they live with, simply saying, "I'm an alcoholic." The group does not judge. They respond simply by saying their name. So let's try it. "Hi, I'm Cynthia." You would say, "Hi, Cynthia." Then the sharing begins. There is a gift for people who struggle with a certain issue to be present with others who know that struggle. There is a gift for those who live in the same form of darkness to seek light in the company of people who understand them. Once a month, our congregation offers what we call a circle of caring. It's a support group for people who are caregivers who work 24/7 to take care of a loved one, and for those who are struggling with grief. Grief has its own sort of darkness that can consume and weigh you down. So once a month, this group of First Christian members gather together. And there's no formal litany, no saying your name and having a response given, but there's sharing of stories, a talking about what the journey is like for you in that moment. In a way, the church itself, collectively, is somewhat like AA or a circle of caring. You might not have ever reflected on it this way, but the church is essentially a support group for sinners. It's a place where each and every one of us can say, "Hi, I'm Cynthia, and I'm a sinner," and be greeted not with judgment, but with love. For Romans tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So all of us know that at some point in our life, when we live on this earth, there will be times when we make mistakes. There will be times when we fail to follow the path God lays for us and we follow our own will. There will be times when the darkness seems a little greater than the light. So we come together with others who know the light to hear the good news from one another that God is real. And Jesus loves you and me and each one of us, no matter what. We come together to hear the wisdom of Scripture and be reminded of God's light. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus. Each and every one of us on our own life journeys have had times of darkness and times when God's light shines brightly. The church is a place where we all come with, as it were, a small candle in our hands, one light, the light of one soul. It's a light that the world around us threatens to blow out, but we come here to bring those lights together, to find in God's presence hope and healing for the struggle of life. Today is August 19th. There is a little bit of darkness in my soul today. 4 years ago, on August 19th, I got a phone call from my dad. I was on sabbatical, getting ready to head to the University of Chicago. Charles and I were at a friend's apartment, and my cell phone rang. It was my father calling to say that my brother had died during the night of a massive heart attack. Charles and I have talked in the last couple days that it's been a hard 4 years. There's been a lot of loss for our family. It was a year and just a couple days later that my mom died. And then this April, Dad died. So the darkness that tries to creep into my soul is the darkness of grief. And your light, your love, helps to heal that. 4 years ago on August 19th, I could not have stood before you and preached or even have spoken my brother's name without weeping. But thanks to your love and care, I am reminded constantly of the goodness of God and the eternity of God's light and love. I know of some of the darkness that some of you carry, but not all of it. Each one of us has our own journey, our own struggle, be it grief or sin, an addiction or unemployment, heartache, health issues. Part of being human is living in a broken world. Part of being Christian is knowing that our wholeness comes from Jesus Christ, that because of Christ, the light still shines in the darkness. As I was preparing for children's time this morning, I had specifically picked up this little rock for show and tell on our drive across Chief Joseph Highway. I was just struck by how many little crystals reflected the light in it. Well, this morning, as I was preparing for children's time, I couldn't find the rock. Somehow, between the car and the parking lot and my office, I had set it down. I retraced my steps. I didn't know if it was next to the tamale sign-in sheet or the copy machine where I was preparing for Sunday school, or the television that I'd turned on to show a DVD, or the flower bed where I'd pulled some weeds because it was nice and rainy when I got out of my car. Finally, I found the rock by the gate to the preschool that I had stopped to close on my way into church. But I figured it was the story about the rock as much as the thing itself that I needed to share with the kids. It's the story of God's love that we need to share so that God's light reflects and shines through us. In thinking about children's time and show and tell, I debated between the rock and another little item. It's a little New Testament Bible. The front page is inscribed, "Presented to Tommy Dobson," that was my dad, by First Baptist Church, Fresno, California. There's no date, but I know he got it before he was married in 1960. So sometime in the 50s, a couple of American Baptists in Fresno gave this little Bible to my dad, and they wrote beneath his name Psalm 27:1. Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" My friends, whatever darkness you know in your life, whether it's personal or societal, know that the Lord is your light. Whether you turn on the evening news and you feel overwhelmed by sad news of broken promises and lies being told. A couple times this week, I found myself thinking of different eras in the history of our nation when we have struggled with darkness encroaching on light as an American people. I thought of when Nixon was in office, and we placed our trust in a president who lied to his citizens and was impeached for it. It was a dark time, but in the end, the light of truth shone through. Whatever darkness you know, whether it's your own grief or a struggle in the world around you, hold fast to the promise of Psalm 27:1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" No matter what your struggle is, hold fast to the promise of Ephesians 5 that you are a child of God. We are children of light. And even in the darkest of times, God's light shines on. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" May we walk in the light of God. May we march in the light of God. May we dance in the light of God. May we sing in the light of God. As the African hymn says that we sang this morning, "Sia humba kuka nwenkwen kos." May we live in the light of God. Amen and amen. Our closing hymn today is number 602, "O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee." I invite you this morning, if you're looking for a church home or seeking fellow believers to share God's light in a time of darkness, to come forward as we stand and sing, "O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee." I would remind you after the service today, if you want to come up and offer a personal prayer for Amber and a blessing on the blanket that she will receive, you're welcome to do so. There's coffee and refreshments downstairs in Fellowship Hall. I hope that you will stay and share God's light with one another, greeting each other in God's love. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. O Lord of light, Lord of life, Lord of love, fill us so much with your glory that the darkness of this world is cast aside and your truth shines forth. Bless us now to be children of light as we go forth to love and to serve in the name of Jesus. Amen.